This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and today we're listening to some deja vu-inducing stories on our show, exploring how previous generations thought about issues that continue to move us. Are you feeling stressed out, perhaps a little sluggish? Maybe you should read this interesting book written by a physician. It's called Wear and Tear, or Hints for the Overworked. Sounds good, right? But before you hit search on your e-reader, this came out in 1871. The author, Weir Mitchell, explored a popular sentiment of his time that life was moving too fast. That set the stage. In the decades after the Civil War, the nation was changing rapidly. Cities were industrializing and growing. The railroad was expanding. The invention of the telephone was just around the corner. People, it seemed, were doing more than ever before. A neurologist named George Beard said this life in the fast lane was giving people a curious condition. He dubbed it neurasthenia. History professor David Schuster wrote a book about this condition, and I asked him how it was defined.
Neurasthenia is predicated on the idea that our bodies run on nervous energy. This is a kind of a paradigm of health that was very popular in the late 19th century. You have to remember this was the time of Edison. And it was thought that we eat food, it goes into our stomachs digest the food into energy, and then our nervous system uses that energy. It transports that energy to our organs, almost like electrical wires would transport electricity to a machine. And that when our body was running low on this energy, it would cause our brain to run low on energy. And that could cause migraine headaches, insomnia. That could cause grown men to cry. It would prevent people from concentrating. It would create fixed thoughts in their head. It would create a variety of different mental and physical complaints, everything from amenorrhea to impotence to chronic pain.
Now, when did this condition become known as Americanitis?
That is kind of a tongue-in-cheek phrase. From my understanding, it was said by William James in a sort of tongue-in-cheek sort of way. William James, of course, the famous American physician, philosopher, psychologist, and he called it Americanitis kind of in a way to remark about how Americans had become fascinated with both their health and the sense of being more modern than other nations of the earth. And then it also has this, I don't know, kind of a martyrdom to it, as if America now is paying the price for being so advanced and modern.
So it seems like neurasthenia was a condition, but also a bit of a badge of honor.
It is a sense of a badge of honor. It's almost like if you had neurasthenia, the subtext was that you were working hard at something and you basically worked yourself into sickness, and that you need to recover so that you can go back to work. So if people suffered from neurasthenia, it was a badge of honor, but it also was an excuse to take some time off so that you can recuperate to get back into the rat race.
And I feel sometimes we see this a bit today with our so-called creative class, where people are very sensitive and very perceptive, and sometimes that makes them sad or depressed or overwhelmed.
Oh, absolutely. Neurasthenia was closely associated with artists and creative people in the late 19th century. It was thought that anyone that kind of dwelled on especially ideas a great deal, used their brains to an excess, kind of felt strongly for things. It made them more susceptible to neurasthenia. So it wasn't only businessmen and busy society women that could be laid low with neurasthenia. It could be the sensitive artists that would be chronically suffering from neurasthenia.
How was this condition treated?
Oh, there's a lot of different ways to treat it. And it differed on whether you're a man or a woman and how much money, of course, you had as well. It was thought typically that if you were a woman who was laid low with neurasthenia, what you needed to do was have what Weir Mitchell called the rest cure, which in essence would be forced bed rest for 6 to 8 weeks. They even provided bedpans, so a woman did not necessarily have to leave the bed to go to the bathroom. For men, the cures were more kind of masculine. One of the classic cures for men was to go out west and rediscover your cowboy roots, kind of embrace a manly life with the understanding that living close to nature in a rough and tumble world would help restore your body's vitality. Teddy Roosevelt famously took that cure in the 1880s. That's how Teddy Roosevelt, the politician we all know, became the cowboy. He had a breakdown. He went out west at the suggestion of his physician, and then he returned back to New York politics as this, you know, cowboy, rough and tumble type, rough rider character.
What happened with this condition? Did it fall out of fashion?
In a way, it did fall out of fashion, but it fell out of fashion mainly within the medical profession rather than America at large. The diagnosis itself ended up being very broad. So it worked in the 1870s and 1880s and 1890s and even the first few decades of the 20th century. But by the time you get to the 20th century, you start to have medical science discover things like hormones and vitamins. And you start to have the language of what makes people well and sick change. And on top of that, you never have people proving the existence of nervous energy in any type of convincing way. And the last thing would have to be the arrival of Sigmund Freud, where then he came up with his language of psychoanalysis that Americans started to latch onto. So ultimately, neurasthenia ended up being parsed into many different diagnoses in the 20th century. And the term itself was seen as a little too cumbersome for modern scientific medicine that was trying to get more and more precise.
But there's something about this that feels very true, that as humans, perhaps we were meant to sit in a cave and not to be staring in a smartphone all day. And maybe my brain just cannot process all that I witness and all that's around me all day long.
Yeah, I mean, the idea in the late 19th century was that Americans were moving from the farm to the city. And that transition from the calm, natural life on a farm to the busy, you know, artificial life in the city was breaking people. Now it's, you know, it's looking down at your smartphone rather than looking at the people around at the dinner table. So I don't know if we are meant to live in caves, whether we were meant to work on a farm, or whether we can operate just fine in a capsule somewhere. But by the late 19th century, unhappiness started to become abnormal, or at least people thought to be happy was normal. And people assumed that to be pain-free was normal. So we started, you know, adding a pathology to unhappiness. We started creating a pathology to chronic pain. And that's what neurasthenia is or was.
David, thank you so much for talking with me.
Hey, this has been a pleasure, Mike, and thank you very much. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Did you like this story? Subscribe to our podcast. It's on iTunes.